Those of us who are going to grow older, past the age of 50 and 60 and 70 and beyond, we're here for a purpose. And you are blessed. And find your purpose and spread the joy. Spread whatever the essence of that purpose is.
Hey, midlifers. Welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostess. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Hi, I'm Wendy Valentine, host of the Midlife Makeover Show. Today, I want to share something personal with you. At 45, my world turned upside down. I was going through a divorce, battling depression, grieving the loss of my brother, and dealing with chronic illness. But I want to tell you about a turning point in my journey, therapy. Speaking to a therapist was a lifeline for me. It was a safe space where I could express my pain and start to find my way back to joy and hope. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce today's sponsor, BetterHelp, the world's largest therapy service. BetterHelp offers professional licensed therapists who are available online at your convenience. You can message your therapist anytime or schedule live sessions via video, phone, or chat. I believe in the power of therapy because it helped me navigate the toughest times of my life. If you're going through a tough time or just need someone to talk to, I encourage you to try BetterHelp. As a listener of the Midlife Makeover Show, you can get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/midlife or choose the Midlife Makeover Show during signup. Welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show, where we dive into the stories of incredible individuals who are redefining what it means to thrive in midlife and beyond. I'm your host, Wendy Valentine, and today we have a truly inspiring guest, Diane Gilman. Diane is a force to be reckoned with, reshaping the narrative of aging and challenging societal norms every step of the way. From her early days as a fashion rule breaker to revolutionizing the industry with her iconic D-Chi. D-G-T jeans. Diane has proven that age is no barrier to success. At 78, Diane is just getting started on her third act, empowering women to embrace aging with confidence and vitality. Her book, Too Young to Be Old, shares the electrifying story of her life and the empowering lessons she's learned along the way. From overcoming personal heartbreak to conquering breast cancer, Diane's journey is a testament to resilience and self-discovery. Through her podcast, Too Young to Be Old with Diane Gilman, love the title, she continues to inspire and educate the 50-plus community on topics such as nutrition, health and wellness, beauty and skincare, and aging solutions. Diane isn't just a fashion maven. She's a trailblazer, challenging society's preconceptions about life after 50. With vibrant energy and a commitment to living life on her terms, Diane is rewriting the script for women who believe the later years are for invisibility. Join us as we delve into Diane's remarkable journey and discover how she is empowering women to embrace their later years with confidence and vitality. Please welcome Diane to the show.
Oh my God, can I live up to this? I don't know. That's a pretty flashy entrance.
And you know
what?
That's
you, Wendy.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for being here. And that's just scratching the surface of you. I mean, we were talking before we hit record and I was going through your website and just reading your about page and all the things you've done, I mean, you're slaying it.
Well, you know, even as a young child, and I think part of that was I was born in 1945 and to a mother who had never had a child before the age of 45.
Oh.
So I had much older parents. We did never agreed on any interests. I wanted to be a career girl. There weren't, wasn't even that term at the time. So I learned how to dream for myself. Mm. I learned how to actuate those dreams into reality. I had no family support at all. And in fact, it was scandalous as a girl.
Oh, yeah.
To even have a dream like that. My parents said, I wanted to go to fashion school. They weren't going to do that. And they said, we'll fund you to go to UCLA, but that is only to find a husband. You don't really have to worry about what you're majoring in. Major in men. And I thought, it's not going to happen. That's not how I want this to go. So I've sort of been, I left home and I've kind of been on my own my whole life so that nobody but fate itself could obstruct me from trying to live out my dreams, trying to dream them, actualize them, and then live them out with intention and purpose.
Yeah. And you know what, too? I feel like as we get older, we forget to dream. We kind of leave.
We don't allow ourselves, especially women. Yeah. You are taught that once your childbearing years are over with and you're in Arizona, that great law from 1864, thank you for that. we're taught that we're not good with money. We're taught that we're not good at business. We're taught that we shouldn't earn the same amount. I mean, it is and has constantly been my whole life kind of an assault on women. But when you get older, the answer is once you are done with childbearing years, your usefulness, not your youthfulness, but your usefulness is over.
Yeah.
And if you're, that's just absurd. And so I'm out there fighting the good fight and saying you are never too old to dream and you're never too old to make that dream come true. And honestly, I had a great career in fashion. I got on television just by chance, had a great career on QVC and HSN. I didn't develop the wow moment of my life, the DG2 gene, until I was 60.
Wow.
Now, everyone else I knew in the fashion industry had dropped out, phased out. I mean, there was almost nobody left who was that age and still designing. And that was the absolute tipping point. My career suddenly went through the roof. We went from maybe $25 million a year company around 1999 to $120 million a year company on one idea I had about dressing middle-aged women who had gone through the change of life and their body had changed as well. And, you know, that just tells you that there is always time to dream and believe in yourself. And maybe these are going to be the best years of your life when you're done having a family. Could be.
Well, and I feel too, like, especially after the birdies leave the nest and you've got more time. You've got more time to create. And I feel like I have more energy even now than I did before.
Yeah. Well, so I think we know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was reading your story. I know we're both so excited. I'm like, I was reading your story. And correct me if I'm wrong. I think that before you created the jeans, had your husband passed away and then you.
Yeah. So,
yes.
So 1990, I I was given the opportunity to introduce washable silk to America. And I was very good at painting. And so I painted all my own prints, and they were turned into silk screens. And silk, any natural fiber, actually takes print and color beautifully, but especially silk. And it was incredible. I had my name up on the walls of every single department store in America. Then I got into a lawsuit with my partners over not being paid correctly. Not an unusual story in my industry, or frankly, any artistic-based industry. And I wasn't allowed to work. And one day I got a phone call, and it was like, "Hi, I'm a talent scout from QVC. We'd like to have you on air." And I said, "Don't be ridiculous. I'm in the middle of a lawsuit. I can't use my name, and I'll never forget it." She said, "Oh, we got a lot of people like you. That's no problem. We'll just call you Diane." So at the time, my husband had been diagnosed with cancer.
Mm.
And he was my biggest cheerleader. And he sort of set up my life for me, because he knew he was going to pass on.
Aww.
And said, "Yeah, Diane, you've got to lose weight, and you've got to go get a facelift, and you've got to do this." And he set me up with a voice coach at Juilliard School of Music, because I used to have a super high, screechy voice. And then he passed in 1997. And then I was truly on my own. And having been the sole caregiver for him, I just thought to myself, I couldn't survive this again. It was too tragic. Mm. So I decided to just pour all my energy and my focus into my work. Fashion had never let me down. Fashion was my first love. And then I came to understand that broadcasting was my second love. I love the vehicle of the camera. What a privilege as a designer to be able to explain why you were doing what you were doing and how it was going to benefit other women's lives. And so I did fashion for 50 years, and I did broadcasting, QVC internationally in Europe and Canada and Australia, and domestically through HSN Home Shopping Network for 30 years. In between, when I was 72, I'm 78 now, at the real height of my career, which I have to be the only human being who ever could say the height of their career in fashion or television was at 72, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I had to take a year off. And I said goodbye to my audience, said, "I'm taking a year off to save my life. I'll be back." I came back, and when I came back, honestly, my audience, which was almost 700,000 women strong, was so receptive, and breast cancer was such a bonding force that in one day, it was a peak, real peak. We sold 225,000 jeans.
Wow.
In about 8 hours on air. Yeah. But television was very, how can I say it, time consumptive. And you could never say no. Mm-hmm. So if they wanted to add a 4 a.m. show, it was okay. If they wanted you to stay down an extra 3 days, and now you had to figure out how to leave for Europe from a small airport in Florida instead of JFK, you said, okay. I think one of the big keys to my success was I never said no.
Yeah.
I was like the most cooperative human alive. But coming back from cancer, and what a mortality-based disease does to your head and your heart, I realized that maybe it was time for change.
Mm.
That my life, I've been given back my life.
Mm.
I realized how sacred and precious every minute was. And I asked myself one question. Is this what you want to do for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Because I was in my 70s and I'd just gotten finished with huge amount of chemotherapy and radiation. And the answer was, the thrill is gone. You know, it's a great divorce. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. You could have stayed in it forever. I could have.
Yep.
But I didn't feel that my quality of life would have been optimum. And I also felt if there had to be a trademark in my personality as a younger woman, I took a lot of chances. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I'm going to do it and I'm going to make it work. And, you know, at least 55 or 60% of the time I did just that. So I asked myself, what could you do if you left? Because you don't want to retire. I'm way too hard driving for that. And I thought, you know, you're a pretty good communicator now. You've been on TV for 30 years. What about this podcasting thing? And within 4 weeks of leaving TV, somebody approached me and said, I want to co-host. I think you'd be perfect. And I said, well, you know, I've never done it before. Well, but you're going to be great. And so I did a few months as a co-host. And then I realized I was far too interested in women's topics and women's aging issues to have a man as a co-host. I felt it was unfair to him. So I thought, okay, I've never been in front of a camera alone before. It was very scary to me to begin with, but here we are. And I'm loving it. And in the meantime, the day I got the cancer diagnosis, called up a friend of mine who was a senior editor of the Palm Beach Post and said, hey, I got a not so good cancer diagnosis. I want to write a book chronicling my adventure through all of this, whether it turns out great or it doesn't. I want it to be a benefit to women who are probably most likely in their lifetime, 50% of us minimum will get some form of cancer.
Wow.
And for sure, 33 to 40% of women will get breast cancer. And so she said yes, and that's how the book started. And it made me feel like my journey was more meaningful, more controllable. And the book wound up selling, which is like, wow, head implosion. Yeah.
I love what you said. One word that really stood out to me was adventure. And yeah. I love that you've made your life such an adventure, as we all should. I say this all the time. You this one life, this one wild and precious life, what are you going to do? I mean, and I feel like there was this, or there still is this perception that life ends at 50. Like, no, oh, my God, no, you have a whole other,
no.
You know, you have like, oh my God, to me, it's just beginning, especially for me. I can't even imagine how many more things that I can create, that you can create, that the listener out there can create. Anything, it's infinite.
It's kind of mind blowing that women are so shunted aside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it all involves a change of life. And now that you see all these different laws coming in and Roe versus Wade being overturned, you really get the feeling like you're living the Handmaid's Tale and you're just a biological vehicle for many babies to be born. And when you're not that anymore, then you're nothing. When in fact, we are over 50% of the population.
Yeah.
And 50% of the entire population is over 50, which makes us a graying nation. Mm-hmm. And where is the respect? And where is the enthusiasm?
Right.
And where is the sense of purpose? And, you know, I did not, after I left television, and that was my decision, and they were not particularly thrilled with that because I was still number one, but I felt like, you know what? every single minute I'm healthy and able to do what I want to do, I want to do it. And right. I wasn't even sure of what I wanted to do yet. But then after I started doing the podcast, which I titled after the book, Too Young to Be Old, I got contacted by an international women's group that fronts International Women's Day throughout Europe. And they said, we do a book anthology every year, and we would love you to be on the cover and write your story. And everybody writes a story for this book. I think 20 women comprise the book called Women Who Thrive. That will be out on Amazon June 8th.
Oh, nice.
And so I did that. And that was my first adventure in writing alone, solo, without a ghostwriter. And I loved it. It became my happy place. I sit down on a rainy weekend day and write and correct it and massage it. And I felt like I was doing something artistic and but worthy of attention at the same time, because it was a guideline for women to go through breast cancer or frankly any kind of mortal disease and come out better at the other end. Maybe go yes. in as a rough diamond and get polished and come out as this beautiful stone sparkling mm-hmm. on the other side. So I'm really yeah. working my way towards being as much a mover and a shaker for women over 50 as is humanly it. Possible.
You're so amazing. I think about... a diamond, how a diamond is formed under pressure.
Pressure right? makes diamonds, right?
Yeah, right. Like I feel like, and just hearing your story and thinking about my own, my greatest breakthroughs came from my greatest breakdowns.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Sometimes you just need to be a little bit torn apart to put yourself back together. And I did say that in my writing of my story for the anthology that I had this huge crust around me when I went into cancer. I've been number one as a tele-retail, queen of jeans, fashionista for many years. I stopped long enough for any kind of self-care but I also was in, as I said, two very mean professions.
And
I'll tell you a quick story, and it's from the anthology. So somehow, just coincidentally, if you believe in coincidence, I was led to an incredible breast cancer clinic called Dubin Breast Cancer Clinic within Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. I just happened to buy a penthouse five blocks away from it. How crazy. And then was diagnosed.
Wow.
And Dubin was founded by a woman, Mrs. Eva Dubin. And so it had a totally female point of view and a very New York point of view. Beautiful furnishings, beautiful wall colors, white orchids everywhere, your own personal masseuse during chemo, okay? Your own catered organic lunch. So I never ate the lunch, but one day I'm sitting there. Now, my attitude at that time was I'm wearing, and a lot of women actually did, I'm wearing nothing but fashion clothing to my chemo. Somehow I figured, oh, cancer's going to be so impressed with me. I'm wearing a Gucci baseball cap to hide my baldness. I'm wearing a custom-made wig by Cher's Wigger. I'm wearing cashmere track pants. I'm wearing Gucci shoes. I mean, what an idiot. So I'm going through the treatment, and somebody comes in the room next to me because we all had our private rooms. And I hear, Sheila, oh my God, everybody, Sheila's here today. What they're doing, all the nurses, And they come running into the room next to me. Sheila, we're so glad to see you. Sheila, you look great. Sheila, guess what? We have your favorite lunch. And we saved an extra three for you. And I'm thinking, who the hell is Sheila? I mean, if I'm the queen of jeans, she must be the countess of chemotherapy. I mean, who is she? So I call a nurse in and I said, why didn't anybody offer me lunch? And she said, Diane, you never eat lunch. I said, but you could have offered it to me. And she said, okay, Diane, do you want lunch? And I said, well, no, thank you. But I do want to know, who is Sheila? Is she a news anchor? Is she a Broadway star? Uh-huh. Is she a soap opera diva? That was all reality in New York City, right? In Manhattan, Fifth Avenue, Upper Fifth. And I'm like really jealous. And I'm a little pissed off, frankly, that I don't get this kind of treatment. And the nurse looked at me so oddly. And she said, Diane, Sheila is a battered wife who has to now live in a shelter because home is too dangerous. She has no family, no money, and the food, quite frankly, at the shelter is inedible. So those sandwiches we give her plus today's meal, that's 4 days worth of food for her that she can eat. I was so ashamed, so appalled at myself, and realized that I lived in a complete ivory tower of unreality. And I started to rearrange my whole moral compass. Wow. Immediately, that touched me so deeply that she was valued as much as I was. And wasn't that right? And shouldn't I, with the power I had, the public voice I had, be helping women like that, not being jealous of them, not wanting one over on them? I mean, I was used to always being the underdog because I didn't have some freaking 10-acre mansion in the Hamptons on top of the penthouse. So one little day of treatment started to change my entire life. And then I decided life is way too precious and I've been given way too many gifts and I'm not using them correctly. And so I left a very cushy position and a very, very public spot in the world. And I went to make a better me and a better world for women in my generation.
Wow. I have goosebumps.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think like there's no labels, there's no Joneses in the world of cancer.
No matter if you just got served with divorce papers, got fired from your job, or ran out of gas in the pouring rain, bad days are bound to happen. They happen to all of us. The key is to not let bad days turn into bad weeks, bad months, and a bad chapter in life. Too many crappy days can lead to depression, anxiety, lack of sleep, poor behaviors, and one big funky funk. That's why I created the 8 Happiness Hacks, a free download to help you overcome a bad day quickly and get you back to rocking your midlife. Please go to wendyvalentine.com/happiness to receive your free download and start applying these simple yet effective methods to bring happy days your way.
I was watching, so I was just going over, starting to put together the framework of my next book, my fourth book, and which will be all about living smarter, aging slower, right? Living smarter and living longer.
Yeah.
And I've got on CNN or something, and suddenly there's Kate Middleton sitting there. And I'm most interested because she's wearing a pair of jeans and a very simple sweater. And I'm thinking, what's she doing sitting in a garden by herself? And I know this woman, and I know how intentional every public photo is and what she wears and how it's commented on. And she was giving her admission that she had cancer. And then I wrote an end chapter to my story that's coming out shortly, the anthology called From Princess to Pauper. And how none of us are shielded.
No. You know what's amazing? It's like you were saying earlier about the giving yourself permission to dream.
Yep.
But also giving yourself permission to pivot and listening to the whispers of your soul. And I feel like for you, you know, it's like you have all these whispers from your soul. And then I feel like when you step forward towards your dreams, the stars will align if you pay attention. But sometimes we'll be so focused on something, we even miss those signs. But for you, I feel like they even more so, as more things kind of started to quote unquote crumble, but actually it was kind of revealing more of the true Diane through all of this, right? Through
your husband. I had to see it.
Yeah.
I had to feel it. And I'm very sensitive about, I knew, first of all, to go through chemotherapy after seeing him go through chemotherapy, that was truly the greatest fear of my life, what chemo was going to do to me. It turned out, oddly enough, that I never even got nauseous from chemo. I had side effects afterwards, you know, osteoporosis and stuff, but chemo was pretty easy for me. But I had to start going in myself, going inside myself. And one night, and I had had several amazing dreams in my life that I knew were supernatural spirit world dreams. The night before chemo, and I was alone, and I was saying to myself, this is not a dress rehearsal, it's a real thing. You got to bring your A-plus game here. I had a dream. And the dream was, I was driving my little VW bug. That was the first car I ever had at 18 years old. I'm driving my little VW bug down this really rocky road. And it's wilderness on both sides. And I have no idea where I am, but I've got to get there. But I don't know where there is, but I just know I've got to keep moving forward. So important. And suddenly, a literally vertical mountain that comes to a needle peak at the top. And I think, oh my God, I can't get around it. There's no way to drive around it. There's no way to drive through it. There's no door. There's no way to climb it. I'll just gun the engine and try and get up. And so in the dream, I go up and I slide down. And I go up again and I slide down. And then I realized that if I did get up and got to the needle peak on top, I would just fall down the other side and crash. So in my dream, I got out of my car and I grew into a giant. And the insurmountable mountain became a sharp rock under my feet, and I just stepped over it. And that was exactly how I had to approach chemo and cancer and everything in my life. Make yourself, you have the energy and the means within yourself to make yourself bigger than who you are right now, and get. My husband always used to say, which would you rather be, an eagle who had an overview of miles or an ant where one blade of grass was an overwhelming forest? And so in my dream, I became a giant. I became the eagle, and I saw cancer for what it was. It wasn't going to overtake my entire life. It was just going to be a chapter of my life, as it's become in two books now. So
I love that story. I feel like that's the key, is you have to become bigger than your problems.
Oh, totally. Totally. And bigger than your situation. You know, there was a little bit of push and pull in me when I decided to leave television after 30 years and fashion after 50 years. But I said, are your favorite songs just one note? Are they a compilation of a lot of notes that makes a melody?
Mm.
And I thought, I want to be a melody. I don't want to be a one note song. So I took a chance.
You're such a wise. I'm having a blast.
Well, I think you have to be. I think especially for us girls who are alone, and I learned to love living alone, and I learned to devote myself to my talents and my energy, and now helping others is my legacy, helping other women. You are going to accrue wisdom as you age if you just open up your mind and your heart to it.
How does someone decide what to do if they're just kind of like, oh my gosh, now what? I really don't know what I want to do with my life. If they're just stuck, what would you recommend?
I think it all depends on what age you are. First of all, I would say that if you're over 50, don't think about going back into the corporate world again. That is the most devaluing situation. Corporate life is for the young, the perky, and perceived as cheap, because they would rather have half your age and pay half your pay and teach those people until they age out. So I would say, honestly, if you want something else to do, this is the age of the entrepreneur. And that is TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I mean, this is the age of the personalized product. And you can see that in a brand like Etsy, where everything is huggy and warm and personal and small town, and each individual creator can come on Instagram or TikTok and explain their brand and their invention, which is just, if I was going to do jeans again and do a jean for a middle-aged body, which nobody ever did before or after, that's how I would premiere it. I would premiere it on a platform of social media. So the one big piece of advice I would give is don't stop growing. In other words, I'm surrounded by women my age. I was actually in a meeting the other day and somebody said, I said, you know, shouldn't we be sending out e-bites? And I said, not doing stuff on paper with snail mail. And this woman said, I never use email. I hate email. I'm waiting for it to go away. And I thought, well, you're going to have a long wait. So the first thing I would say was, as you age, and if you feel stuck, you got to get up to speed. You've got to realize there's a whole world out there. And now we're talking about artificial intelligence. And I've used that frequently for answering questions or coming up with like authors, or so rather than rejecting all the advantages around you because they scare you. And frankly, honestly, I'm the worst tech person. Somebody said to me the other day, oh, Diane, you're so Amish. Like, yeah, and you're absolutely right. I am totally tech-onish, that is for sure. But I try, and I realize the importance of it. And the next thing I would say is you don't need to start big.
No.
Maybe it's a small thing. Maybe while your kids were growing up, they all said, oh, my God, you make the best chocolate chip cookies for the school drive every year, Mom. Maybe you make that into a small business. Maybe that's where you're giving those cookies out to kids in hospitals and eventually doing little packs of cookies for hospitals and doing your own packaging and making it so cute. But what I do say is reach into your heart and soul and do something you love. And that will always make sense to you, and other people who are coming for your product or what you have to say, they will all recognize that personalized love as one of the most powerful emotions on earth. And it's unmistakable. That's what I did when I developed my middle-aged gene, the DG2 gene, and I was 60 years old, which is so unheard of for fashion, to have any invention at that age, to even be in fashion at that age. I loved that gene. That gene truly changed my life. It was built on my measurements. It worked for, I think we're up to 23 million genes sold in 13 years. It was a revolution, and I had a very grateful audience who all recognized I was thinking about them too. And so do something that maybe is age appropriate, but do something mm-hmm. you love. And that heart energy, if you're able to unleash that, you can never go wrong. You will not fail.
I totally agree. And, you know, we were talking before we hit record that nowadays there's so many things you can do remotely. Like I was saying, all I do is I put my microphone in my suitcase and I head off to Portugal. And I mean, there's so many things that you can do, and you can design a life that you love around doing something that you love.
Yes. And mm-hmm. as females, I don't think we're ever given that advice. Design a life you love.
Yeah.
You seem, I see so many women who feel that their entire life was just having children and taking care of them. And now occasionally they get into their child's life, but their child is already 35 or 40 and blown the coop. What about your own life? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even now in America, in a time where we seem to be going super backwards. I mean, I was watching the news this morning and some guy was talking about women should not have the right to vote. They're not capable of thinking clear enough to vote. I was like, oh my God. Keep all sharp instruments away from me. Yeah. But that just means we have to fight even harder for ourselves and our quality of life. So don't listen to all that extraneous chatter.
Yeah.
You know, inside yourself, there is a truth finder. And you can feel it when something is right or something is a really solid idea. You know, when I designed the middle-aged gene, I took it to many people in my industry, and they all said, that is the dumbest idea I ever heard of. That is so stupid. Old women aren't going to wear jeans. I said, that's not true. They're just not wearing jeans because they don't have a jean to wear.
Who wants exactly.
My business partner said to me, who wants to see a fat old chick in a jean? And here was a guy who was 300 pounds with a giant beer belly, but he felt totally privileged to be able to say that. And I thought, millions of women are going to want to wear it. And I came up against so many different oppositions, but I knew that idea. I knew in my heart of hearts it was right, and it changed my life, totally changed the trajectory of my life, and changed millions of women's lives. So listen to yourself. If I had to say one thing, that's what I would say.
Mm. And you know what, too? Just like you said, it's like, think about the impact that you can create. You're not just changing your own life by going after your own dream, but you're also affecting so many people around you and even kind of giving them that permission. Yes, you can go after your dream too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, life should be for dreaming, and not every period of life can be that way or have that kind of freedom. But you're in charge of the quality of your life. And as you get older, and certainly after you survive a disease like I had, that was already a few stages down the road, it wasn't like it was, you know, stage zero. You realize you're here for a purpose. This isn't a coincidence. Yeah. Those of us who are going to grow older past the age of 50 and 60 and 70 and beyond, we're here for a purpose. And you are blessed. And find your purpose and spread the joy. Spread whatever the essence of that purpose is. And I would say right now, it's a dark time for women. We need to be supporting our sisters. Those of us who know how to do it, those of us who understand how to fight back, those of us who get how to be self-contained and keep the integrity of you in the midst of this tornado of bad juju, we are the ones. And honestly, almost the chosen ones. And it's very funny because on my podcast, Too Young to Be Old, a few weeks ago, it was probably a few months ago, actually, I had this fascinating woman on as a guest who was a tarot card reader, but like the real deal, a psychic, real psychic.
Wow.
You could tell. And she said to me, I know you've been called the Queen of Jeans for years, Diane. She said, but I'm renaming you the Lighthouse because you have an inner light that shines out and makes so many people feel better, feel empowered, feel like they can do something with their life. You're the Lighthouse. And it was cracked me up because one of my favorite musicians is that guy called The Weeknd.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, yeah. Abel is The Weeknd, and now Diane is the Lighthouse. So there I am.
You are such a beautiful lighthouse. I'm so glad. Thank you. So glad that you're shining your light.
Thank you. Yeah. It feels really good.
So where can we find you?
Well, you're going to find me on YouTube. So you'll see the Diane Gilman, all in small caps, all one word, the Diane Gilman. And that will show you my website. I have my own YouTube channel, my podcast, Too Young to Be Old, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I'm on it all.
I bet you're just having so much fun.
I am having a blast. I'm so rejuvenated and inspired by the people I meet, like you, Wendy. And what was really, really scary turned out to be one of the best decisions of my life.
I'm gonna get in the driver's seat and drive the RV to New York so we can hang out. We'll have lunch right here.
I'll bring the bagels. You bring the cream cheese. I'm ready. I'm on it.
Thank you so much, Diane.
No, thank you. This was really good. Really fun.
Oh, everyone have a great day.
Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change, or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.